First of all, I just want to say thank you for your many prayers and support for me and my family as we transition into being the lead English pastor starting this year. We are just in awe of just your support and your prayers for us. We are so thankful for what God has done in and through Pastor Gaylord and his family. And we're looking forward to just building on that. And seeing what God has in store for our English ministry here at ACC. With so many challenges ahead of us, but very excited as well and very joyful. So looking forward to journeying with all of you. Just quickly, I just told my dad a couple of weeks ago that I'm moving into this new role. He was so excited, and he said, "So how many people are attending the English service right now at ACC?" I told him 5, but in reality, it's because all of you aren't here yet. We haven't reopened, so my dad said, "Well, you better work hard, son, and increase that attendance." But anyway, really happy and joyful to be a part of what God is doing here at ACC. The second thing is we have an opportunity starting this morning to go through our main theme, main church theme and passage for this upcoming year. And the theme is nothing new. It's make disciples who make disciples. This is a theme that we really believe in wholly and fully as God's calling for each of us as followers of Christ and for our church, ACC. That his desire is to use each one of us to proclaim the good news of Jesus to the lost, to those who don't know him. And again, part of being the lead English pastor is to journey with you as we continue to build up that culture, that spiritual DNA in each of our lives and the DNA of this church, that our sole desire, our sole existence as a church body is so that we can share the love of Jesus to our city, to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to our friends, to our family members, to strangers who do not know Jesus, so that many lives will come to know him in faith. So that's going to be our theme starting this year, and it's a theme that we have been going through. So nothing new in that aspect. But we do have a new theme verse, and in a moment I'll be going through that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. So hopefully you can turn to your Bibles and we can look at that together in a moment. As you heard briefly what I shared during the Lord's Supper, 2020, again, I think for all of us has been one of the most trying years of our lives. I don't think any one of us could say that it was a year in which we expected, a year in which we thought was going to happen, that we were going to be locked down because of the pandemic for many months now. I mean, I think come March, it's going to be about a year. And to see the many thousands upon thousands of lives that have perished because of this virus, it's just, I can't fathom it. The political unrest in our country, how everything just got politicized and has divided communities and divided neighborhoods and divided workplaces, and it's even divided the church, how we've allowed politics to define who we are, even as followers of Christ, to say that because of this stance or this stance, that is why it's the most important thing in our lives, and we have completely forgotten our identity in Christ Jesus and our calling to be servants of all people, regardless of our political affiliations. How we, again, have allowed that to lead and guide us instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. And obviously, what has hurt the most in my life, at least, has been the racial injustice. It's always been there in our country. Let's not fool ourselves to think that this is a brand new thing, that we should be surprised by it. No. Racism has been there from the beginning, from the very existence of this country. And And it has penetrated. And for many years, it's been silent, but it will come up again. And we have seen the true colors. Unfortunately, even the true colors of us as followers of Christ. How we have resorted to judgment and condemnation because of the skin colors of people, because of the different cultures and different ethnicities. And how difficult it has been when, because the virus has come from an Asian country, that people would look at me and would look at many of us and would call us names. It hasn't been a very good year. It's been a very difficult and trying year. So there have been many questions that I've asked throughout these last few months. Many of them are just fundamental, foundational questions. Who am I again? Who am I? What does it really mean to be a follower of Christ? With all of these things that have been happening, I've been stripped down and begin to ask the most basic of questions again. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to be a disciple maker? What does it mean when things have been taken away from you, that the very normal of life that you have been accustomed to is no longer there, and you are still living, and you are still being called by God to live for Him? What does that now look like? Who am I in all of this? And I know for a number of you who have lost loved ones, maybe through the pandemic, or because of other reasons. Maybe you've lost your jobs. Maybe you have been estranged from your family. Whatever may be the reasons, this past year you're just asking yourselves again, how can my life be better? How can I even escape from this hole that has been dug so deep in my life that all I can do is look up, but no answers to how I can get out? I think all of us are asking those sorts of questions once again. What is my purpose? What is my calling? What should I even expect for 2021? And I really believe that our theme verse this year really speaks to that. That this message of making disciples who make disciples is part of God's redeeming work in completely redeeming 2020 and teaching the church yet again what our true calling is. Let's forget the fluff. Let's forget the very ways in which we have created worship. Because we're back on the most simplest of levels. We are back to just you and God, and you're asking the Lord, how do I worship you? How do I praise you? We're back to that level. So we have a prime opportunity now to kind of rebuild our theological doctrines, in terms of what worship really should be all about. That maybe the very things we have added to worship, the very things we have added to what God's mission is all throughout these years, we have an opportunity now because we are now back to square one. And it's just you and the Lord, it's just me and the Lord and God's word. And we now, again, maybe we can let God's word speak to us, to show us what it truly means to follow Him, what it truly means to make disciples who make disciples. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 is a very interesting passage because it comes on the heels of chapter 1. And if you read 2 Timothy chapter 1, you see a person named Timothy who seems like he was a very defeated person. Paul had to write this letter to Timothy to encourage him. There were instances in chapter 1 where Paul reminds Timothy, hey, don't be ashamed of the testimony about who God is. Or don't be ashamed that Paul was a prisoner of the gospel of Jesus. He kept reminding Timothy over and over again, don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Don't give up. Paul even mentions that there are many people who were believers in Christ who have now fallen away, who have turned away from Paul, and in reality, they have turned away from God. And maybe Timothy is experiencing all of this and is sensing all of this, and he's hearing all of these things, and he's defeated. He's discouraged. He's at a point in his spiritual journey where he's like, how do I even move forward? And God, and Paul reminds Timothy, God has begun a great work in your life. Through your grandmother, Lois, through your mother, Eunice, God used them to build up a strong foundation of who God is in your life, Timothy. So in light of what's happening in and around you, no matter how it looks for the church at this given moment, don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Don't have a spirit of fear in your life, Timothy. But God has given you a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. You see, that is the background to our theme verse for this year. God, through Paul, recognizes the struggle that Timothy is going through, just like God sees the struggles that each of us are going through right now. And we, just like Timothy, are wondering, are questioning, are doubting who we are in Christ Jesus. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. It's God speaking to you and speaking to me again to encourage us as we move into 2021 and beyond. He's encouraging us through these verses of his calling for each one of us to continue to make disciples who make disciples. So let's read these three verses, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Three verses this morning, three spiritual principles, three hot arcs that I want to just share with you this morning as we go through these three verses. The first kind of big arc of this passage is what God wants to do for us. The second arc is what God wants us to do for him. And the third arc is when we go through these two arcs together, and when we live it out well, ultimately, what will be our testimony, our identity to the world? What God wants to do in and through us, what God wants us to do for him, and lastly, what will be our identity? What will the world see in us as we live this out faithfully? The first verse, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You see, Paul is telling Timothy, you have been struggling. I have seen your weakness. I have seen your struggles. You then, my child, Paul is emphatically looking at Timothy and speaking to him directly. You, Timothy, just like God is emphatically speaking to you right now. You, Art. What am I about to say is for you, Art. Paul is saying, what I'm about to say is for you, Timothy. Take out all the noise that you are experiencing in your life right now. I am talking to you. This message is for you, Timothy. And God is saying to you right now, this is your this is for you. You are listening right now to God's word because God ordained and purpose that you are here at this very moment listening to his word. This is for you. You then, my child, you see Paul's tenderness in being a disciple maker. He acknowledges the struggles and the despair that Timothy is going through. So though he's emphatically talking to him directly, he talks to him with a genuine heart, with a tender heart, with a caring heart. And God comes to you, and he's speaking to you emphatically, and yet he's speaking to you in a very tender and caring way because he knows what you are going through. Be encouraged by that, church. Be encouraged that he knows the struggles you are in, and he's identifying with you. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul reminds Timothy, don't try to live your life on your own. In all these struggles, in all these difficulties, and in the shame that you are experiencing in what I am doing, in what God is doing, don't try to figure it out on your own because you can't. You see, for many of us, if not all of us, this past year, I think there were many moments where a sense of despair made us want to figure it out on our own, wanted us to just pull the bootstraps. It's to say to God, I can do this. I don't need your help. I'll figure this out on my own. But at the end of the day, we realize that we can't. There's nothing within us. There is nothing that makes us who we are be able to figure out how to solve the problems and trials that we are going through. Paul reminds Timothy of that. And God reminds us this morning as well. We can't find that strength within ourselves. But instead, Paul reminds Timothy, be strengthened. The source of the strength is not found in you, Timothy. The source of the strength is going to be found in someone else, namely the grace that is in Christ Jesus. See, that's what God wants to do for us. That's what God wants to do in and through us. He wants to show us again. Art, my children, you want to make disciples who make disciples. You want to see me at work in your life. Let me strengthen you. Don't strengthen yourself. Don't figure things out on your own. Don't think you have the answers, because time and time again, you will realize that you don't. And you might end up farther away from me. You might end up in a situation that's much more difficult to get out of because of your disobedience. See, God is telling us again, the source of this strength is not found within us, but it's found in Christ Jesus. By the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And God says, I want to strengthen you. I want to strengthen you, Art. I want to strengthen you, church. I want to strengthen you because I want to be the Lord over your life. So as we reflect on 2020, and as we begin to put that aside, be reminded that don't live 2021 and beyond as if you are still in control. To make disciples who make disciples, you must recognize that you are not in control. God is in control. And he wants to give you that strength. He wants to give you that courage. He wants to give you that boldness to live for him and to make disciples. So that's the first arc. What does God want to do for us? And then the second arc is, what does God want us to do for him? You see, too many times we kind of stay put in that area where we just wait for God to fill us. We wait for God to strengthen us. And we receive, and we are strengthened, and we are encouraged, and yet we just remain there. We think that's the Christian life. We think that's all we have to do as a follower of Christ, is to just receive from the Lord, and receive from the Lord, and grow in the Lord, and receive from the Lord, and all we're doing is feeding ourselves. Maybe 2020, we realize that we've been living our Christian lives in that way for many years. That all we do is just receive, 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 and we think that's what we need to do. And yet, Paul reminds Timothy, and God reminds us that that's not what God's intention is. God wants to strengthen us for a specific purpose. God wants us to do something for him. Verse 2, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Church, our calling in life is not to just wait on the Lord in heaven, feed us, and have him strengthen us, and that we receive from him, and that's where we remain. No. The reason why God strengthened us, the reason why God wants to give us the courage and boldness, is because God is calling us to entrust the good news of Jesus Christ to others. See, that's what God's calling and mission for us is. We need to understand that. As we now enter 2021, and then we look back at 2020 and we realize, wow, it was really so hard to share the gospel with others because I've been locked in my home. The more so as we enter 2021, the more so we should realize this is not what God had intended my life to be. I am not made to be locked in my home so that I can just receive from God until I die. No, and you know that. Our calling is so that we receive what God has taught us, what God has instructed us, so that we can then tell others the good news of Jesus and to entrust what is so valuable to others so that they too may then teach others. We need to be involved in discipleship. My friends, this cannot be an option. Okay, let's throw out 2020. Let's say we have a reason that we're stuck at home and there's nothing much we could do. Okay, I'll give you the benefit. Let's look at 2019. And let me ask you a question. How many times did you share the gospel with somebody who did not know Jesus? How many times did you share the gospel with somebody who did not know Jesus? Did we go through one full year of our existence and not share the gospel with anybody? Not entrust to others what has been entrusted to us? To share the good news of Jesus Christ to someone else so that they will have the opportunity to give their lives to Jesus, grow in their walk with Christ, so that they too will be faithful in teaching others also. And I ask that question myself. How often, with the myriad of opportunities God has given me to share the gospel to the lost, have I taken advantage of that opportunity? Or did I literally let one whole year pass me by? And all I did was receive, receive, receive. Verse 2 reminds Timothy and reminds us again. What we have heard, what God has taught us, we believe in faith. And in action, in faithfulness, we in turn teach others. We in turn instruct those who do not know Christ so that they will have an opportunity to come to know Jesus, grow in him, be discipled, and then they too will also spread the good news of Jesus. You see that? That's the best church multiplication ever. That is my desire as your pastor, that we do not become a congregation, we do not become an English ministry, that all we do is just receive from the Lord, that all we do is just build up our own community. No. Our sole purpose in this world is to praise the Lord by sharing his good news to others so that they will have an opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ. We need to be in church in motion. You've heard me time and time again say we cannot be a church that is status quo, that is comfortable, that chooses safety over risk. We have to be a church in motion. We always have to be in movement because our God that we worship is always in motion. He's always reaching the lost who do not know Christ. And we as his people have to be a part of that. And let me pause and say one thing here to be careful. If this is something you truly believe in, this is something you've heard from the Lord, you've given your life to Christ, you know his mission and calling in life, and you know that you are called to make disciples, let me give this one warning again. Please do not disciple a mature believer, please. That is, I think, in my opinion, a waste of time. When you see verse 2, please don't think, oh, yes, Pastor Art, I fully believe in that, and I'm going to go disciple. Who should I disciple? I am going to disciple this other Christian who's been a Christian for many years. No, that's not discipleship. That might be a Bible study. That might be fellowship time. That might be getting together with someone you don't know, but, you know, it's just building up a friendship. That's not making disciples. The context of verse 2 here is that our calling is actually to go to the lost, to those who don't know Christ, to make ourselves available to them and have the opportunity to share the love of Jesus to them. I plead with you, just as much as I'm pleading to myself, please do not waste your time thinking that you're making disciples by meeting with someone who's a Christian. No, you're wasting your time. You can call it something else, and if you want to do that, fine. But don't call it discipleship. Let's think of discipleship in terms of outreach. Let's think of discipleship in terms of the lost. Let's think of discipleship in terms of those who don't know Jesus. Let's reach out to them. Let's invest in them. Let's make an impact in their lives. Let's risk. Let's risk it all and entrust to them the very thing that was entrusted to us, that we guard deeply in our hearts, the love of Jesus. And we invest in them, and we pray that Jesus, that God will continue to do their good work in the lives of these people, and that they will come to know Christ. And then we then disciple, then we teach them, then we instruct them, and then we entrust them and say, you have to go out and do the same thing. I believe that part of our motion here as a church body is to be in the lives of those who don't know Christ. I know what you're probably thinking right now is Pastor R saying spend less time with my Christian friends? If that's how you're hearing it, yes. Yes. Please spend less time with one another so that we can truly go out and spend more time with those who don't know Christ, and that we can invest in them. That's the second arc. Just what God wants to do for us, now is God wants us to do for him. And when we live that out, the third major arc is the kind of identity we have. Or in other words, what will the world see in us, in and through us? And that's found in verse 3. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. If the world sees the church, if the world sees you, and the image, the picture that they have about you, about me, is that, wow, that person, Art, he's a good soldier of Christ Jesus. We nailed it. We nailed it. It's so interesting that of all the images and pictures and illustrations Paul could have used here, Paul uses the word soldier to define disciple makers. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Our mistake as a church throughout history is somehow we made following God like a playground. Somehow we made it into a place where we think we receive the benefit, that we can enjoy the monkey bars and the slides and enjoy with our fellow Christians and laugh and joke around and have a great time together. We made it into a playground. But when in fact, it was meant to be a battleground. And it's easy to understand why we have made it into a playground, because that's what we want. It's so easy. It's so much fun. It's so much joy. And we made our Christian life a playground rather than what Paul sees it as. It's actually supposed to be a battleground, because if we're truly following through on God's mission of making disciples who make disciples, I'll guarantee you right now, it's not a playground. It's hard. It's risky. It's sacrificial. A Roman soldier in the first century, I mean, that's the context that Paul is using here for Timothy. A Roman soldier is deeply, deeply committed to the emperor. So committed that when they become a soldier, their term in the military, it's not a short term, it's a long term. For many of them, long term means serving until they die for the emperor. How ironic is it is that when we make a commitment to serve God, it's not long term. It's not indefinite. We like to see it in short spurts. Oh, I can do that for a year. Oh, I can do that for 6 months. We put time. We put boundaries to it. Because it's easier for us, right? But here, there's no time. A soldier is deeply loyal and deeply committed to the emperor. So much so that they are able to walk 6 miles every day, marching to get where they need to go. 6 miles on average. And I read that, and I wonder, and I ask myself, what kind of a follower of Christ am I? I get so scared. I am so defeated. I find every excuse in the book not to do what God has called me to do, to entrust to others the good news of Jesus. And I set up my own boundaries. I set up my own timeline. I set up my own schedule so that it makes it easier for me, i.e., I make it my own playground. And yet, Paul and God reminds us that no, it's a life of suffering. It's a life of sacrifice. It's not about your life. As Titus mentioned it to us again in the songs, the cause that we live for is the cause that we are actually called to die. It's a cause that is not for us to flourish, but it's a cause for God's name to be glorified. That is what making disciples who make disciples look like. So if our testimony in this world is that being a Christian is fun and easy and safe and comfortable and, you know, it's all that, I want to ask you to rethink that image. But instead, think of the image of a good soldier. A soldier who is committed, who is deeply loyal, who will spiritually exercise, read God's word, be in prayer, seek the Lord, learn to continue to trust in him, to do all you can to walk those miles, to do all you can to serve him indefinitely, not in one-year spurts. Serve him indefinitely. And to be out there spending your time and your effort in reaching those who do not know Jesus, giving them an opportunity to draw them to him. It's a battleground. It's a battlefield. And the world will go against you. And unfortunately, many times, the church will go against that kind of a life. But that's not a life I want to live. I don't want to live a playground life. And I don't want you to live a playground life as well. I want us to make disciples who make disciples. And maybe we're waiting until this pandemic ends. I'm not so sure you need to. I think you can start making disciples right now. There are many ways, many tools God has given us to reach out to somebody. And you know someone who does not know Jesus right now, because the Holy Spirit's already convicting me right now of many names, because I know them too. But maybe don't wait for the pandemic to be over. Maybe this is our year. Maybe this is our time. Maybe this is God's way of redeeming the world and including us to be a part of it. Please join me, ACC, as we make disciples who make disciples. Yes, it's going to be a battleground. but we're going to share together in the suffering. We're going to share together in uplifting one another. We're going to share together in praying for one another as we're out there living out the good news and entrusting the good news to those that don't know him. Are we with God? I want to, and I'm desiring to, and I am. Please pray for me. Please pray for my family. I understand the calling that we have to live that out. But I also want you to join me in living that out together. Let us be a church that will move in that direction. Let us be a church that ultimately this place will be packed full of seekers, full of non-believers, full of those seeking God, for those who are young in the Lord. Let us fill this place. I believe it can happen, and I believe it should happen. But it's going to take us to do that. Won't you join me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, inasmuch as this message is convicting to people who are listening right now, it's convicting to me, and I'll be the first to admit how hard this is, and the many decisions I need to make so that I can truly make the effort to entrust the good news of Jesus to those who don't know him. Help me this upcoming year, Lord, to be more consistent in that, to be more purposeful in that for me and my family, to understand that we have our circles of influence, and many of them we don't know Jesus. To begin to just invest in them and love on them and share the good news with them and let them know that their life counts because God desires them. And for my sisters and brothers here in ACC, that they too will make that decision once and for all. They have heard. They have heard of the good news. They have surrendered their lives to the good news. But may they spend their time as well purposefully and intentionally in the lives of those who do not know Jesus, not just for this year, but for the rest of their existence here on earth, to spend their lives sharing the good news, sharing the gospel to those who don't know you. And we truly desire to be a congregation that will be filled with many people trying to know who you are. We want to rejoice in those very moments, in that community, Lord, where we can have that opportunity to share of your great love to them. So help us, Father, to make disciples who make disciples, not just for this year, but for the rest of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.